If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 26. The book of Proverbs, 26. This morning I ask as your elder that we simply give honor and reverence to the Word of God, paying close attention to the things that we see and the things that we hear, and that you would be good Bereans and go back and put it to the test. Proverbs 26. Allow me to read the first 12 verses. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be also like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. And there's no contradiction between verses 4 and 5. There is an explanation for both of those proverbs. He that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the foot and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewarded transgressors. As a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Peter quotes that. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? Scripture says there is more hope of a fool than of him. Well, beloved, if you take a real close look at the calendar, today is April Fool's Day. And your pastor has the uncanny habit of deviating from tradition and sometimes bringing forth a message very appropriate for a particular holiday or a day specially marked on the calendar. Many will be made to look like a fool today by the jokes and the pranks that many will attempt to pull off. Many a laugh and many a chuckle will be made this day at your expense if you're foolish enough to fall for them. But on a serious note, my friends, the Bible, God's inspired and sufficient rule for both doctrine and practice, has a lot to say about the fool. Matter of fact, the word fool in the singular is found 37 times in the book of Proverbs. And the word fools, plural, is found an additional 19 times. So we shall consider the fool, part 1, part 2 this morning, taking a little journey break from our sovereignty of God. And we're going to devote this Sunday to the fool, April Fool's Day. We even give them a day on the calendar. Now, for those of you who like history, you want to know a little background for April Fool's Day? And there's a lot of debate about this. In the ancient world, April 1st, amongst the Romans and the Greeks, was the beginning of the new year. It was in conjunction with the spring equinox and with the ending of winter and the blooming and the budding of spring. Well, guess what happened in the year 1582? Pope Gregory the 13th convened a council, and in that year, one man changed the Julian calendar that everybody ran under to what we now know as the Gregorian calendar. And in order for the Papa to do this, he wiped off the face of the earth 10 days in the month of October when he made the calendar. He took 10 days and just threw them to the winds in the year 1582. During that same council, they determined the Sunday upon which Easter falls. Do you realize that Easter shifts every year, sometime in March, early, as late as April? Because Easter is to fall, according to the Pope, after a full moon, at the Sunday following the full moon, after the spring equinox. And in that same calendar, they decided the concept of leap year. You know what's so funny? America and Great Britain did not accept this calendar until centuries later, and the Chinese only adopted it in the 20th century. You and I live under what's called the Gregorian calendar. And so people who did not want to go along with the Pope, and they stuck to the 1st of April as the beginning of the year, would be called fools. And people went out of their way throughout Europe to do pranks and stunts on such people. That is some of the background behind April Fool's Day. Well, beloved, the Bible has gone the extra mile in describing to us who truly wears the title fool above their head. In this hour and the following hour, we are going to consider who or what is a fool, biblically. And in the second hour, we're going to consider what is my response and what is to be your reaction to someone whom the Scriptures classifies as a fool. Well, for those of you taking notes, and those of you who like to jot down, let's consider the first thing here this morning. What is a biblical definition of a fool? The word fool that is found in the ancient Hebrew text carries forth 8 different connotations. And allow me to briefly enumerate. Number 1, the word fool in Hebrew means one who is weak of mind. And it has nothing to deal with handicaps. We're not talking about nothing genetically or nothing chemically imbalanced in the mind. We're talking morally, spiritually. Secondly, the word fool and the word folly are associated by the Hebrew word synonymously. He who is a fool is one who lives in folly. Thirdly, a fool, according to the Hebrew word, is one who's not prudent. He is one who is without aim and without counsel. A fool is somebody who travels with no compass and sails a ship with no rudder to his life. The word fool in the ancient Hebrew text means someone who is brutish and someone who is conceited. He or she is stuck on themselves. Have you ever met somebody who is stuck on themselves, as if they are the center of the universe and they are the god of their world? Seventhly, and this is very, very dangerous, the Hebrew word for fool implies someone who is liable to impulse. If a fool cannot govern his or her money, he or she takes the plastic and they will charge themselves into debt because they cannot control the impulse to buy and to spend and to hoard. That's what the word means. It also carries forth the idea that somebody who has no control over their carnal passions will go out there and abuse women or abuse men for their own carnal satisfaction. A person who lives on the fly, lives with the impulse. But eighth and finally in the Hebrew, a fool is somebody who deviates from the truth once given or once known. A barbarian is not a fool. He may be wild. The Bible is teaching us that a fool is somebody who has been exposed to the truth and the light of God's word, and they reject it. Can I give you 2 examples? May I introduce you to the prince of all fools, Lucifer. Was not Lucifer very acquainted with the God of creation? Was not Lucifer one of those angels high up in that rank structure Does not the scriptures tell us that Lucifer was very close to the throne of God? He guarded the glory of the majesty of the Most High, and yet he was not content with that position, that status, and that closeness. So he rises up in rebellion against God, and in the book of Isaiah we have the five I wills. I will ascend, I will do, I will do, I will be like the Most High God. And what was the temptation that the serpent gave our grandmother Eve? Ye shall be like gods. Satan is a good example of a fool. He is the prince of the fool. And can I give you another example? But about the son of perdition, Judas. I heard one preacher preach, and I think I've shared this with you before, so hopefully you will not turn off your ears. Judas was one man who kissed the very door of heaven, but he went to hell. Did not Jesus say of himself, I am the door? I am the door, and all those who enter through me shall be saved. Did not Judas walk up to the blessed Savior? And did not Jesus say, hail friend, what do you want? And was it not Judas who put a kiss on the cheek of the master as a sign, this is the one you want, cuff him and bring him to the priest? Judas kissed the very door of heaven, but he ended up dropping in the very pit of hell itself. He was a fool. Did not Judas walk with Jesus for 3.5 years? Did not Judas hear the Sermon on the Mount? Did not Judas hear the Olivet Discourse? Did not Judas see miracles? Did he not see the Savior take 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish and feed nearly 15,000 people, if you add women and children, to the 5,000 men? Did he not see Jesus walk on water? Did he not see Lazarus come forth from his tomb? Did Judas not see Jairus' daughter raised? Did not Judas see lepers made whole? Did not Judas see the lame to walk and the blind to see and the deaf to hear? And in the context of all of that biblical light, he kissed the door of heaven. And he will suffer the vengeance of a devil's hell for all eternity. He is called the son of perdition. And the word perdition in the Greek means destruction. Unending torment. An unending hate in a pit for all eternity. Well, beloved, in the Greek, you have Greek words that are given to us that describes a fool. And can I give you 7 definitions that are extracted from the Greek words given to us for a fool? Number 1, the New Testament Greek word for the word fool denotes one who has no reason. And again, no reference to handicap. We're not talking about autism, compulsive disorder, attention deficit. That's not what we're talking about. Secondly, it's a lack of mental sanity and sobriety. And if you're here this morning, beloved, and God has saved you, this is what he saved you from. Thirdly, it means to be reckless. Fourthly, it means to lack common sense. Fifthly, it means to be imprudent. Sixthly, it carries forth the idea to be dull, sluggish, or stupid. And then seventhly, and this is one, beloved, you need to listen up carefully. It means to be without discernment. And that's why a lot of people this day are going to be hurt, embarrassed, ridiculed at their own expense, because they're not able to discern the prank or the joke that's going to be laid upon them, and to hear their wife or their husband or their children or their friends say, April Fools. Turn to Matthew chapter 7, please. Jesus finishes up the Sermon on the Mount, what we know to be the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's Gospel giving us a very extensive recording of that sermon. Other of the Synoptic Gospels do not give you such an extensive coverage of the Sermon on the Mount. But nonetheless, Matthew provides a rich coverage of what was said on that day. And notice how the Master concludes the Sermon on the Mount. Look at verse 24, my friends. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, that's the key. Not necessarily Jesus himself. Jesus is calling attention to the message that he gave. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and you do them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Now, if I take a literal interpretation, is Jesus here discussing how you and I are to build a domicile? No. He's speaking allegorically. The house here is your life. The rock, or the foundation upon which you are to build your life, needs to be built on something as firm as bedrock. And the most firmest thing spiritually that I can associate as bedrock are the words of the Master. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, they beat upon your life. It fell not. You ran your race and you finished. You were wrestling for the Lord and you won. You ran your marathon for the Lord and you were crowned with the victor's crown. Are these not images that the Apostle Paul uses about the Christian life? You were in that boxing match and you hit a KO. You won. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone who hears these sayings of mine and they do not do them. Again, we're not talking about a handicap physically. We're talking about an issue of the heart. Shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rains came, the floods came, the winds beat. And those three things are symbolic to the hazards and the shipwrecks that come into our lives. Those challenges, trials, tribulations, and temptations that both the redeemed and the fool face. And notice, when it fell, when this man's life blew up, this foolish person who was exposed to the truth but rejected it, Jesus said, my friends, not little, but great was the fall of him or her. Ironically, the word for fool here means blockhead. A blockhead. So God the Holy Spirit has chosen some very graphic words and terms to describe what we as God's people have been saved maybe either out of or saved from if we persisted in a certain lifestyle. Well, that's the fool defined. I now want to move on, maybe with your assistance, by doing maybe a little reading if your pastor's voice doesn't hold up too well. I want to paint a portrait of the fool, all from the book of Proverbs. So let's turn to Proverbs 1 and just be ready to turn. Let's save some time. Let's find Proverbs chapter 1 and just remain there. And I'm going to pick the verses, maybe ask for your help. I got to make good use of my time, so please bear with me. Number one, the portrait of a fool. A fool is someone who is totally unrighteous. What do I mean by that, preacher? Unrighteous. A fool is one who hates anything that's holy, and they hate anything that is good. But they love everything that is evil. Look at the 13th proverb. Brother Jeff, would you read verse 19? Turn to Proverbs 13:19.
The desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil.
Notice. It's an abomination. Now, you and I know what an abomination is. But it is an abomination for a fool to depart from evil because he loves it. So the opposite is automatically implied. A fool is one who hates that which is holy and good and righteous. But he gravitates to everything that is evil, everything that is in contrary to a holy God and to the nature of a holy God and his being. Turn to Proverbs 10. Sister Siobhan, would you read verse 23, please? Look at Proverbs 10:23.
It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom.
Look at the word sport. It means to have fun, to make jest. Here's your April Fool's verse. Notice, it is a sport to a fool to do mischief. A fool is someone who's just geared in doing mischief. They're not content, they're not happy, unless either they inflict pain, inflict embarrassment on someone. To them it's a sport, it's a game, it's fun. Secondly, according to the Bible, a fool is someone who is unwise in comparison to the one who is wise in the ways of the Lord. A fool is somebody who is unwise in comparison to the one who's wise in the ways of the Lord. Look at Proverbs 10, verse 21. Brother Mike, would you read verse 21 for us?
The lips of the righteous feed many. The fools die for want of wisdom.
Ah. Notice the lips of a saved man. He's going to feed many. But fools die. They die for want or lack of wisdom. Because, beloved, they do not like to hear the message. Again, beloved, the Bible is showing us that a fool, biblically speaking, is somebody who does come under the sound of the gospel. They do get exposed to the light of God's truth, whether in a Christian home, or maybe they were forced to go to Sunday school when they were small by mom and dad. They were forced to hear something, or maybe they're on the job and you come on with a tract or with a book and you confront them with the truth. A fool is one who takes that knowledge and makes a conscious choice to reject it and then to pursue a lifestyle of unrighteousness because they choose not to heed the wisdom of God. Thirdly, a fool is not capable of obtaining or acquiring wisdom at all. He's not capable. Look at Proverbs 14 and verse 6. Sister Amber, would you be gracious to read that, please? Look at verse 6. It talks about ability.
A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto him that understandeth.
Ah, look at the comparison. The fool, when he does desire to seek wisdom, he can't find it. He's not capable. But notice the contrast. But knowledge is easy unto him who understands. Big difference. Beloved, the reason why God's word is very easy for you all to read and to understand, even a lofty subject as the election of God and God's sovereignty, God's choice of sinners, and God's absolute free rule. Some people wrestle with that. And they struggle with that. But if you're here this morning and you can plow through that, if you're able to look at the divinity of Christ and his humanity and see no contradictions and no blur, if you're able to understand who Christ is and what the scripture is, how a person is saved, if you're able to understand these great and deep things of God, it's because, beloved, wisdom is easy for you. Because you can understand, and the more you understand, God is able to reveal more and open to you. But for a fool, even when he wants to, what is said about Esau? Come on, church. What does the writer say about Mr. Esau? That when he would seek repentance with tears, he found it not. He sought repentance. Oh boy, and did he wail. When he found out what happened to him, when he found out that he gave up his birthright, and when he found out that because of the bamboozling of his brother and his mother as they wheeled and dealed upon him by duping their own father, their own husband, he wanted that blessing then. And he sought God with repentance, and he bawled. His tear ducts were clean. But my Bible says he found it not. Fourthly, the fool has no desire for wisdom. No desire for wisdom. And he rejects it even if he could acquire it, because he hates it. Look at Proverbs 1. Look at Proverbs 1. Look at the first proverb. Look at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Look at that sad description. Look at that sad cry. How long, ye simple ones, simple-minded, not chemically imbalanced, not retarded, not handicapped. We're talking about a simple-minded person who does not want to receive the truth in the light of God's word. Will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in their scorning? And how long will the fool insist on hating knowledge? Look at verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. You find yourself a person who has no delight, no desire, no appetite, and no relish for the warnings and the promises of God's word. And they kick and they scream and they bellow and they yella and they scratch and they snarl and they spit and they foam. That's a fool. That's a fool. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Notice, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. Not the love of God, mind you. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But a person who's a blockhead, he despises both wisdom and instruction. Well, let's make a mid-course application. So far, this portrait demonstrates one who comes into contact with biblical truth. We're not talking about some heathen up there in the Amazon jungle who's climbing up a banana tree to get some fruit. He's in darkness, yes. Does he need the gospel? Yes. If he dies without Christ, will he perish? Yes. But is he a fool in this context? No. Not until the message is given. And then he makes a conscience choice to turn his back on God. So far, this portrait demonstrates one who comes into contact with biblical truth, but cultivates an very active prejudice against the light of the gospel message. Thus, they sin and they rebel against known knowledge. Do you know somebody here this morning who's a fool? It may be a family member. It may be a neighbor. It may be a parent. It could be an uncle, a son or a daughter, a co-worker. Would that not move you to pray more for such a fool? Would it not cause you to fall on your knees in your prayer chamber and shed tears for such a fool. Or maybe that would be enough motivation to get us off our blessed assurance and witness to them. Because you love them. And you don't want to see a fool perish. Next, by way of description, the fool is very unrealistic. A fool is one who's very unrealistic in at least three key areas. Would you like to know him? He is unrealistic about himself, because normally the fool overestimates and overinflates their own knowledge and their worldview. Secondly, he is very unrealistic about life itself. And then thirdly, a fool is very unrealistic because he's unconcerned with the present realities of life. Next, a fool is very undisciplined. A fool is someone who is very undisciplined in at least two key areas of their life, according to Proverbs. Would you like to know what they are? The fool is undisciplined with his money and his material resources. Remember, he's prone to impulse. Spend, charge, get all that I can get, and then you can it, and then you keep it. And then secondly, he's very undisciplined when it comes to his temper. Very undisciplined with his temper. Look at Proverbs 12 and verse 16. Brother Tuttle, would you be gracious to read that for us, sir? Proverbs 12, 16.
A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covers shame.
Here's an example. So a fool is someone who is unrealistic about himself, about life, and about present realities. A fool is also undisciplined when it comes to his possessions, his wealth, and his temper. He's also undisciplined with his mouth as well. Look at Proverbs 12 and 23. Brother Jeff, would you be gracious to read that, sir? Look at Proverbs 12, 23.
The prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness.
Now, beloved, how do you proclaim something? Well, you do so with your mouth, with your tongue. Notice, sometimes a prudent man may see something and he doesn't mention nothing. Sometimes silence may be the rule of the day. But the heart of a fool gives away all secrets and gives away all of his wisdom and knowledge free of charge. He's one who goes on and goes on and goes on. He just simply spills all the beans, while apparently a real wise man is known for concealing a matter, concealing an issue. Next, beloved, as we look at the fool, a fool is very unreliable in at least two areas. Would you like to know what they are? A fool is very unreliable in his work. In his work. Look at Proverbs 26:6. Sister Siobhan, would you be gracious to read that, please? Look at Proverbs 26 and 6.
He that sendeth the message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and bringeth damage.
Notice that. Here's an example of a fool that's given maybe a telegram, maybe he's given an envelope, maybe he's given a duty to do. And when somebody who is in authority in a business or in a home or whatever, and they assign something or some duty or some task for person A to do, and person A happens to be a fool, your Bible says he who sends a message by the hand of a fool is actually cutting off his feet. When you cut off your feet, it's kind of hard to move. And if you drink damage, if you drink arsenic or poison, what happens to you? You're gone. So the Bible says that he's very unreliable in his work. And secondly, he's very unreliable in his words. Now listen carefully. A fool is a liar, a deceiver, and a slanderer. Is that not one of the devil's names? He's called what, church? The slanderer. He's the prince of fools. Have you ever met someone that you can take his or her word, and you know as soon as they drop their word, you know for a fact you can't even trust them, whether your life depended upon it or not? Unreliable, undependable. They lie and they deceive. Parents, those of you with little pumpkins under your roof, if children go out of their way to deceive mommy and daddy, that is a character flaw that you need to address right on the spot. You don't laugh about it, you don't joke about it, you don't giggle, oh how sweet. Hey, he's learning, buddy. He's learning the ways of the world. No, my dear parents, you put the kibosh on that little deceiving mind. And slander. Slander. May none of us be guilty of slandering somebody in an act of vengeance or anger. Here's a real bad one. The fool is unteachable. He's unteachable. Try as you like, attempt to teach a fool is frustrating at best and often painful. One author says, whenever a fool is faced with wisdom and instruction, he will automatically reject it. Have you met people like that? Bye. Maybe you're here this morning and God has graciously saved you. But with all of these descriptions, you now look back at your past life and you say, oh my word. Oh dear Lord in heaven, thank you. You're painting a picture of me before my conversion. That used to be me when I was in high school. That was me when I was under my parents' roof and I wanted to hear nothing about rules and regulations. I wanted to live for the moment. I wanted to live to please myself. My parents knew nothing. I knew it all. I had the answers to life, not my fuddy-duddy parents. Did you think that way? Then at that point in your life, you were a fool. And it was the sovereign hand of a loving God who reached down and pulled you out of your pit and made you one of his children. Because they hate knowledge, listen to this, because they hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satisfied with their own devices, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. Beloved, there's a time and season when God looks at such a person. And when that person continually tells God, I want none of you, I want none of your word, I want none of your people confronting me with the truth, I want to be left alone in my sin, God says, you got it. And God will judiciously back off and leave such a one still alive and well with their heart beating and their lungs expanding, and their stomachs full of food that God gave them. And they will be able to look at the book of nature. They'll be able to hear their own conscience possibly screaming, or that conscience is being deadened. They do not have to die to check out whether they're going to hell. God has left them alone. Fools reject the discipline of their parents. A fool is one who scoffs at rebuke and warnings and admonishments. A fool is one who goes deeper and deeper and deeper in his or her depravity. A fool cannot even learn from his or her mistakes. Given the opportunity, the fool repeats his or her mistakes. And that's why Brother Peter tells us, like a dog that returns to what it brought up, the fool goes back and laps it back down. Oh, my friend, if you're here this morning and you can be honest like me and say, my word, that's a picture of me when I was 25. That's a picture of me when I was 16, living under the roof of my parents and just eager and waiting to leave that nest. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, oh my word, that describes my mom, my dad, that describes my brother, my sister, my uncle, my niece, that describes my son and daughter. That describes my friend across the street and my coworker. That describes my best friend back in high school days. Then pray a little more. Cry a little more. And get off that blessed assurance and share a little more. Finally, on this portrait, the fool is unpleasant, unliked, and he's undesirable. You like being around a fool? Look at verse 22, Proverbs 22 and 10. Brother Mike, as we close, look at Proverbs 22 and 10, please. Maybe you're looking at April Fool's Day now in maybe a whole different light.
Cast out the scorner, and contention shall go out. Yea, strife and reproach shall cease.
Look at that. When you get rid of the scorner, all the arguing, all the yelling, and all the screaming stops. Even strife and reproach shall cease. Beloved, as we close out this first hour, the Bible paints a very sad and bleak picture of the fool. Would you say amen? A fool lives on thin ice and cares not. He lives as if there's no center of the universe but himself. He uses and abuses others for his own advantage and worldly gain. He specializes in burning more social bridges than what he builds. Oh, beloved, it gets even worse. In the next hour, we're going to look at the fool. We're going to look at the doctrine of the fool. And then we're going to consider, how do I respond to such a one? Would you like to know? Eternal God, if we're honest here this morning, all of us who are saved must confess that God did save a fool when he saved me. Fools come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all different varieties and packages, all types of colors and textures and taste. Father, thank you for saving a fool such as myself. And Father, we know that there are others whom we love, whom we know, whom we once walked with. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, have pity upon them. Grant them repentance and faith. In Christ's name, amen.